Aloha and welcome to Elevating Motherhood. I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Lori Beth Aldridge. I've taken my passion for conversation, perspective, and supporting moms and turned it into a podcast. My goal is to talk openly about motherhood, offer new ideas, and help moms find their confidence in this busy and sometimes overwhelming world we live in. We're going to dive deep, open up, and elevate motherhood. Thanks for being here with me. Let's get started. Today's episode is sponsored by Homeschool Explained, an online course I created to help parents find their confidence as they begin their homeschool journey. This course is designed to save you time. No more maddening online searches for how to start homeschooling. This is me holding your hand and walking you through Homeschool 101 in just under 3 hours. That's it. 3 hours of video tutorial and a newly updated downloadable PDF. And starting this month, March 2023, I will also be adding ongoing encouragement to the course. I value lifelong learning, and I know you do too. So you will not only get the instructional video and the downloadable PDF, but I'm going to be coming on at least once a month and giving you audio or video encouragement that students of Homeschool Explained request. I used to teach in-person workshops when I lived on Maui to help families gather all the information and resources they needed, answer all their questions, alleviate concerns, and help them get organized as they started homeschooling. Homeschool Explained is the online version of those workshops. I totally get it. Starting any new journey can be really overwhelming, especially when it comes to rethinking how your kids are going to get an education and that you are going to be the teacher. But don't worry, there is so much support and freedom in homeschooling. It's doable, it's fun, and it takes way less time than most people think. I put over 15 years of homeschool experience and insights into this easy-to-follow, easy-to-use online course that answers common questions, helps you work through worries, and saves you time. No more internet search overload. This is all the information you need to get started homeschooling today from a trusted, experienced source. I show you what modern homeschool days actually look like, all while covering major topics like curriculum, homeschool styles, subjects to teach, cost, state laws, socialization, and so much more. This course takes the guesswork out of where and how to begin and leaves you with solid support and resources from day one. I would be honored to help you start your homeschool journey with confidence. Find out more at homeschoolexplained.com. That's homeschoolexplained.com. I also have another project that I've been working on with some friends of mine that I want to share with you. I don't have all the details yet, but I can share that the mastermind I'm in with my friends Jennifer, Amy, and Becky, we have organized a retreat for this fall in September outside of Lexington, Kentucky, at the beautiful Shaker Village in Harrodsburg, Kentucky. I am so excited for this. It's going to be an in-person opportunity for business mamas to get together and talk about the things that matter most to us. And more importantly, give us the time and space in a boutique retreat setting to actually focus on what it is that is important to us. Family, organization, confidence, and strategy, all while creating community. And that really is what this retreat is about, community over networking. It would be a great opportunity for you to find your own mastermind, connect with other women, gather resources, and just be together in person. Did I mention it's in person? I am so excited for that element of it. I love the magic that happens when powerful women get together in person and create and learn and glean from one another. For the details that are available, I highly suggest you go to thefocusretreat.com and see what we have put together there for you. That is thefocusretreat.com. More details coming soon. My friend Cody Hanner wrote a homestead curriculum that my family absolutely adores. It's being used by homeschoolers, brick and mortar schools, and quite frankly, I know there are some adults out there who are interested in modern homesteading that would really benefit from her curriculum as well. Cody is joining us today to talk about her curriculum, how it came to be, the modern homestead movement, lifelong learning, parenting, and so much more. She has also generously offered a discount code for her curriculum to Elevating Motherhood listeners. That code is LoriBeth, L-O-R-I-B-E-T-H, LoriBeth. So I will link to her curriculum in the show notes and use that code at checkout to get 10% off your purchase. Cody Hanner is a wife of a veteran, mother of six, homesteader, and homeschooler that has devoted her life to agriculture and embracing rural living. She created and authored the Homestead Education series of homeschool curricula that includes homestead science. She is the host of the Homestead Education podcast, which is rapidly growing in popularity, where she chats candidly about homesteading, homeschooling, and personal growth. Without further ado, let's welcome the incredibly capable and humbly inspiring Cody Hanner to the show. Aloha, Cody. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Oh, this is awesome. I love your curriculum so much, so very much. And I'm excited for my audience to get to know more about you and your amazing curriculum that you created and your awesome family. I would love for you to share more about yourself in your own words.
Absolutely. Well, I am a homeschool mom of six. We are North Idaho homesteaders, and I have devoted my whole life to agriculture in some way. About 7 years ago, I decided to leave my corporate agriculture job to, I don't even know what. We ended up starting homeschooling shortly after that. We were public schooling at the time. And then my husband and I, after every, you know, the catalyst that everybody talks about of when they decided to start homesteading happened for us. And we started a 40-acre pig farm where we grow about 75 to 80% of all of our own food.
Wow. That's homestead goals. What was your corporate agriculture job?
I did food safety and, like, I was the food safety specialist in large commodity plants, like walnut processing plants.
Wow.
Yeah. So I made sure the plant met all the food safety requirements in the global food safety initiatives to be able to sell them in places like Costco and Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ooh. I was the pain in the booty.
But now I feel like it probably gets a lot of confidence from your customers on your pig farm.
Yes, it does.
I would totally buy pigs from the food safety person. That sounds good to me.
Right? My kids don't like it so much. I'm very organized and write SOPs.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, when exactly did you start homeschooling? Like, how many years of public school did they have? And did you like take all six kids out at once? Was it at the beginning of a school year? Was it like mid school year?
So not all six kids existed yet. So one came after.
Awesome.
Because, you know, we loved having five homes so much. Let's have another one. So we were a blended family originally. When my husband and I met, he was a widower with two boys, and I was a single mom with twins, and the kids were all in that kind of like 7, 8, 10 age group. And they were all in public school. That was just what you did, you know?
Yeah, same school?
No. Well, when we met, we put them in the same school, but not originally. We kind of knew very shortly after we met that we wanted a different life, and we like dug up all our roots in California and took off and bought a cabin in the woods in Oregon. Yeah. Like, I mean, almost immediately it was great.
Wow.
Just kind of took this leap of faith. That was almost 10 years ago now, and we still like each other and still live in the middle of nowhere. So, you know,
That's amazing. And was in that move to Oregon, is that when you started homeschooling?
That is when we started homeschooling. So the kids started school there, and they were there for not even a full school year. And we were like, this is not right for us.
Hmm.
We have four non-neurotypical children. The four older ones, they all have either ADHD or autism. that's kind of what drew us together, being single parents of kids with differences. Mm-hmm. We really needed that like other support system. And man, just the schools, it was just, we couldn't even go to the next town and go grocery shopping without a phone call that somebody needed something from us. Mm-hmm. And it was so exhausting. And academically, our daughter, who had been just top of her class, the only reason we even kept her in the same grade is because she had a twin brother and we didn't want to split them up. Suddenly her reading levels and stuff were just had tanked, and she was in the second grade. Like, how do you tank in the second grade? Mm-hmm. And so we had her fully tested through the hospital programs. And she's severely dyslexic and has dysgraphia, and she's able to read really well. So that was where she was kind of able to jump over and not get caught kind of until the second grade. So along with some of those other issues and with what was going on with her, we just knew that being at home was a better choice. Plus we had our catalyst that I mentioned, which is that my husband was diagnosed with liver disease, which we believe is from something he was exposed to in Iraq. We aren't 100% sure. And we have pretty much devoted our lives to natural living ever since then. And that included having our kids home with us to experience all life had.
My gosh, Cody, so many chapters and so many influences. And like hearing your story, it makes it clear how it is you came to homesteading pretty abruptly, it sounds like, and then also organically and with that leap of faith. I do want to, now that we've talked about homeschool, because it is a homeschool homestead curriculum, I do want to talk about your homestead a little bit. Homesteading is very trendy these days. It's very trendy word, and there's arguments about what it means. And, you know, right, we were homesteaders on Maui, but how much were we homesteaders if we weren't, you know, what percentage do you have to produce in order to call yourself a homesteader? All the things, you know, am I a homesteader in the suburbs of Idaho here? I don't know. My 11 chickens and my livestock guardian dog tell me I am to a certain degree. But
I think you are.
Thank you. There are other people who would say that it's not. But all of that aside, it sounds so silly to argue the semantics of homesteading. And I'd love to talk more about the heart behind it. But for gossip's sake, everyone wants to know what other people's homesteads look like. So you have a 40-acre pig farm. Mm-hmm. Tell us what's on your homestead. We love those kind of details.
Right? Okay. I'll give you all the details after I give you a little caveat.
Yeah. Okay.
The modern homestead movement is 100% a state of mind. It's the strive for self-sufficiency. So wherever your needle is on that gauge, that is okay. And if you've taken it a little bit further, we just call that a flex or something, you know? Like, I have a pond on my property. That is my homestead flex, you know?
It's amazing.
I was an ag major. That was always my life. I grew up on a cattle ranch. Even before we started our homestead journey, we were raising pigs and chickens, and we hunted and always had a garden. But to us, that was hobbies, not life.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we decided to move to North Idaho and buy our ranch, that's when it became life.
Mm-hmm.
And we make sure it's full circle. We do as much permaculture as we can, which permaculture is the less on the chemicals and more on the using everything to create something else, you know, so using your own manure and sometimes I can't even explain it.
Well, you wrote an entire curriculum about it. I mean, yeah, it's totally there.
You know what? Sometimes I have these really great ideas and I write them, you know, and then the people come to me and they go, is this topic in your curriculum? I'm like, ooh, let's look.
Yeah, that's kind of what writing is. You know, once it's out of you, it feels like that's done. I wrote it down and now I've moved on to the next thing because it is so involved. I do love that about your curriculum, that it really highlights how much is involved in it, but in a doable fashion. It could be overwhelming if someone just looked at the sheer number of pages or the sheer number of topics, but instead it's broken down in a really doable way. Well, what was there like an aha moment or something for you? Did you feel called to create this curriculum, would you say? Like when did the mashup of homeschool school and homesteading come together for you in a business form?
Well, I wanted to teach my kids all about farming. I was so excited. I'm a farmer. I want to teach my kids to farm. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing. there's a few things out there. A lot of them are smaller unit studies, something that, and they weren't very in depth. And a lot of them were for younger children. And even at the time, my youngest that was in school were second grade. They were kind of beyond the let me count chickens phase. So I started pulling information from the resources I had from, you know, ag ed friends from college and stuff. And they just weren't created for that type of setting. Mm-hmm. It was either like a really in-depth, like commercial ag textbook for maybe like an FFA type program, or it was the 4-H curriculums, which are great, but they're for group settings and only maybe like one lesson a month. And I mean, which as a homeschool, you're kind of a group setting sometimes, but it's not the same. And so I started just compiling all the information I could and started creating my own lesson plans and my own systems where I could turn anything into a lesson without having to create the lesson from scratch. Like I have research pages and things like that that the kids use. And I actually give those away free on my website. So, but I'll tell you guys about that later.
Yeah.
And I was trying to reignite the website that I had started when my husband got sick, that was my kind of outlet for sorting through all the natural lifestyle changes we needed to make. Mm-hmm. And when I decided to reignite it, I couldn't figure out where I wanted my, you know, hat to lie, I guess. I was actually listening to a friend or another gal's podcast. I could call her a friend now. I've met her. She had a lady on who was trying to be a fashion blogger on her ranch. And everybody just wanted to see the horses, not the fashion stuff she was doing. And she was like, oh, maybe I need to just talk about my ranch.
Sorry, I took a drink of water and I was not expecting you to say that. Maybe I should just talk about my horses. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, she actually ended up creating a product that ended up in Southern Living magazine. It was like a stamp. Yeah, it was like a ranch stamp for their wedding invitations. And I don't know how that clicked for me, but it clicked that I need to be doing homeschool curriculum.
Yeah.
This is what I need to be working on. I mean, I have my bachelor's in agriculture. That is my thing. Mm-hmm. And so I had this just epiphany that I needed to write curriculum. And so my husband's not always on board with all my crazy ideas because I have a lot of them. Fair enough. And so I was a little nervous to go home and tell him my crazy idea. Like I sat him down. I'm like, we need to talk. And he's like, oh man, what now?
This is why we're friends.
Yeah, right.
It's awesome.
And he was like, it's a gold mine, hun. Like, you've got to do this. I was like, wow, he's finally on board.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh. Well, see the need, fill a need, right? I mean.
Yep, exactly. So we sat down and came up with a plan, and I wrote my little learner's version in a very short amount of time because I just kind of wanted to see if I could do it. Mm-hmm. And it turned out really great. People have loved it. But the burning question was, where's the junior high school version? And that was one that I thought would actually probably take me a couple years to write. And I mulled on it for about 6 months and just kind of built what I'd want it to look like in my head. And then just sat down and wrote it start to finish from, I think it was like May through August of last year.
Wow. I feel like you know you have something real good too.
Yeah, like once I sat down, I just couldn't stop. I was writing sometimes 20 hours a day and didn't even want to stop.
Wow.
I might be a little manic. I don't know.
But I mean, that's writing. So I have 2 degrees in children, one in master's in children's literature and one in creative writing. I'll tell you that like talking with authors and sitting down with authors and writers, I mean, that's how it is sometimes. And when you feel like, I don't know, maybe you could answer this question. sometimes people describe writing as you just feel like you're the vessel for the information. Did you ever feel like that in the process? Like you were just like the conduit for the information?
I definitely feel that way, especially when I'm writing on a science topic. Mm-hmm. Because my thoughts are, I don't need to know everything there is to know about science. I need to be able to know where to find that. And then in my writing, I need to know how to put that into an understandable way for someone who didn't major in science to understand.
Mm, so good. I feel like you just gave homeschoolers everywhere permission to not know everything. You just need to know where to find it.
Oh, that's awesome. So the truth. And one of the things I teach on is how to find good information, like valid information. So, because in this great homestead movement, there is a plethora of amazing bloggers and YouTubers and podcasters. And some of them, they have great information. But it's about finding the information that works best for your home, your homestead, your family. And sometimes even if there's a brilliant blogger out there who's giving amazing information, simply if they don't even live in the same climate as you, their information could be detrimental to your farm.
Mm, for sure. Living in Hawaii, it felt like there was no information. It was us learning from each other and having to deal with the incredibly specific problems that occurred in all of the different microclimates that were there, just things that were super unique to us. And it was almost maddening sometimes to look up things online and be like, well, that's irrelevant.
Right?
Completely. Wow.
That's why I usually tell people, start at your local extension office. A lot of every county has an extension office, which is an extension of the state's land grant college. And they're all about local ag and food education. And so many of them, they offer classes. A lot of them offer videos or articles online. That's usually a really great place to start. And then from there, find a blogger, YouTuber that has similar information, but maybe a little bit more of a hands-on practical approach.
I would say that that is the case for the mainland here, for sure. In Hawaii, not so much. It's a little chaotic and disorganized over there. However, they have the spirit of camaraderie and coming together and genuine community.
That's amazing.
Over networks, which is nice. And sharing information that way, and a lot of trial and error. And, you know, you live on an island. So you're there a lot and in the same place a lot. And it's just a lot of trial and error. And here it feels like definitely a faster pace with more information.
We even just spent the 2 weeks in California in the Bay Area, and the fast pace there just blew my mind. Like, I am still trying to figure out how to maybe do a reel or a story or something that just talks about how appreciative I am of the slow life we have here.
For sure. Oh my gosh. I am so grateful. And homesteading makes you present for that. And homeschooling makes you present for that. And it really does support that slower way of life that really does teach production over consumption. I sometimes think that that fast pace teaches us to be consumers rather than actual participants in our life.
Oh, 100%.
We're along for the ride, and on that ride, they're selling you everything right and left. Whereas slowing down and homeschooling your kids, taking responsibility for your life, and having entrepreneurial values over industrial values is just... where it's at. From where I'm sitting, it's where it's at. And I so appreciate you creating a curriculum that helps us get to that space. I'm personally appreciative, and so is my 9-year-old, because when people like to quiz homeschoolers, and they would always ask her, what are you learning about? What's your favorite subject? And all of life is learning. So it's hard for her to answer that question sometimes. She's like, well, I don't know. I could tell you what it is we've done recently. Did you want to know what worksheets I've completed, or where are we at in this? What are you actually trying to get out of me? And she'd always tell people that farm animals and farming was her favorite subject, but there was never any curriculum for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we just took your curriculum out to a coffee shop. So kind of the modern world, you know, like a little adventure, a little one-on-one time. You know how precious that is.
Oh, yeah.
We took your curriculum out and we had coffee and lunch. And we sat down and we were talking about her homestead and what it is she wants it to look like and when it is she wants to start. And this girl has big dreams of making this happen by like age 12. And there's so many practical things in your curriculum that can help her meet those goals, because she's thinking about it now. She's designing it now. She's, you know, starting at the top with her ideas of what she wants that to look like, but then also building an electric fence with a battery. This child is also obsessed with batteries and how it is they work. And it's like the perfect mashup for her. When I was like, I think we're going to build an electric fence out of popsicle sticks and a battery and a wire. And she's like, what? Oh my gosh. We can test it out by putting a chick in there. And I was like, no, we don't have any chicks. And also no. So I don't know. Maybe we'll test it on ourselves.
It's technically a slug electric fence. So maybe let's start with a slug.
I'll tell her. I'll let her know that after the interview. But it just,
well, and that was my thought, is so many science curriculums, really you're just doing art projects that represent science, with my air quotes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's even coming from some of the most well-respected science curriculums.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, their content is great. And then you get to a project and I'm like, okay, guys, like, what did you learn from gluing two pieces of paper together?
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Oh my gosh. Well, when you designed this curriculum, who was it intended for? I mean, are there specific age groups? And did you see this as homeschool only, or did you create it with a bigger audience in mind?
I definitely created it with a bigger audience in mind. I actually feel like a lot of homeschool and homestead families are already on board with a lot of this stuff. And I've gotten complaints, you know, my kids already know what all the tools are, so this isn't intended for high schoolers. This is intended for kindergartners. And I'm like, well,
is that a flex?
Right? Maybe. And I'm like, that's wonderful. I was like, but there are definitely some kids who aren't exposed to those things. And I have a chapter later in the book on off-grid life that talks about things that you need to know what those tools are. Even this chapter 2 is on small engines and how to work on these small engines. And you need to know what each of these tools are to be able to work on these small engines appropriately. Mm-hmm. So it can build on itself, but each unit can also be standalone. And I did that so that everybody had something that they wanted, or that every homestead could use it in order of what they're doing on their farm.
Mm-hmm. I use it as an organization tool, honestly, which I'm sure you'll appreciate being an organized person. For me, it is an organization tool to help go over all of the topics, because to start off with just the topic of farming or just the topic of homesteading is super overwhelming. There's so many different areas to cover, and what are we going to study today? And what is she interested in? So it's really been a springboard for her to open it up and use her new reading skills, independent reading skills, to flip through and say, what appeals to you? And on some days, it's a picture that's going to appeal to her. And on other days, it's words. And this is kind of funny. The other day, I was like, did you read anything in your book? And she goes, I did. And I was like, well, what did you read? She's like, hee, 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 hee. Okay, you're going to have to let me in on your funny joke here. She's like, I read all about composting toilets. Like, went off and just laughed and laughed and laughed. But you know what? She walked away with some like serious information and a springboard for us to, if we were interested, explore that topic more, for sure.
That's awesome. You know, there was I was worried which topic you were going to bring up. Because I definitely, as I went through it, there was a few times where I'm like, this, you know, really talks about pretty deep into reproduction. Do I add it? Do I not add it? Well, this is a life science curriculum for junior high and high school kids. Yeah, this part needs to be in there. Or there's parts about, you know, butchering that I added some pictures in the book, but then I put the videos on the site so they're optional to watch. But I still feel like that's a huge part of how a homestead works. And even for kids who haven't grown up that way, which was another one I really wanted to see, was teaching more people where their food comes from. And whether that be children, adults, whether you've grown up on a farm or not.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote it in a way that would be interesting and eye-opening for somebody who's never been a part of this lifestyle. But then I also went really deep and gave some really how-to steps for families who have been in this lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. I don't envy you your position of writing to multiple audiences like that, but I get it. I get it. My bachelor's degree is in communication for the child, and it's a made-up degree because I didn't like any of the stuff they were teaching.
I love it.
And so my whole goal was to be able to express complicated ideas to that my then 3-year-old cousin and my then 93-year-old great grandmother, you know, to be able to describe different information to them and present it in age appropriate ways and also really respectful ways, because the young and the old are my favorite demographic for sure. They bring me so much joy. And so I see you doing that in your curriculum, and I think that you do it really well. And I think that a lot of seasoned homeschoolers will understand that these are just springboards for more learning and in-depth learning, and that this curriculum is not the only source for this information.
No.
I can also see how, you know, experienced homesteaders are like, well, we already know a lot of this information. I always see that as like affirmation, you know, of like, mm-hmm. Yeah, we're down this path. And then it can become an affirmation for, wow, this really does prove that learning is happening all the time. And we are definitely on a positive path. So I can see new folks being excited about the opportunity for connection, more connection to where their food comes from, more connection to nature. It's this disconnect that people are hungry to heal. And mm-hmm. You give us really practical information and encouragement to participate more in our lives, which I think is something that is missing.
No, most definitely. And, you know, even for myself, as a longtime homesteader and agriculturalist and outdoors woman, there was topics I didn't know to be able to write here. I had to research them to write them. I knew nothing about bees.
Mm.
So I read about 3 books on bees and then integrated it into the way I had been teaching everything else.
That's awesome. So. And we like that section a lot. Like, we want to keep bees now. That sounds fun.
Yay. Yeah. Well, fun. I have friends that are kind of some famous online beekeepers, and I had them read it and they're like, oh yeah, spot on. So it's probably better than some of my other stuff that I feel more comfortable with.
That's awesome. That is so awesome.
Because I take it for granted. And, you know, I would even ask my husband, I'd be sitting over there writing, I'm like, can I read this to you? Because I can't tell if this is too much information or not enough information. Like, what would be appropriate? And, you know, I kind of tease him. He was infantry in the army. So he, intellectually, he's probably right what I'm teaching at.
It's awesome.
He proudly says that too. So
that's awesome. It's so good. Well, what's the goal of your curriculum? Like, what do you hope families get out of it when they're either using it or completing, or when they complete it? But let's be real, I don't know a whole lot of homeschool families that complete curriculum start to finish absolutely.
No, I don't think we have ever completed a curriculum. Yeah. Which it kind of bums me out, because some of my favorite units were towards the end. So, you know, maybe flip towards the end and see what I have going on back there.
We cherry pick, so we'll probably go to the end first.
Right. You know, besides the obvious with this curriculum, I mean, I want to teach some farming. I want to teach self-sufficiency, understanding of food. But one of my bigger goals of what I wanted to see a family get from this, not the educational part that the kid's getting, because I think that one's pretty straightforward, but what the family is getting is teaching some really solid life skills, understanding how all of these pieces fit together, and building some ownership and quality of character within these kind of junior high aged kids that are going through a really confusing and often selfish time. Where when they can see that bigger picture and how much work goes into each step, that not only will they have the ownership of understanding how it works, but then also hopefully helping more and being a part of their family unit as a whole.
I love that so much. I'm such a gusher. Anyone who listens to the show knows that about me. And family goals are awesome. And I think that it just really speaks to the holistic nature of your curriculum in general, is that I get that vibe that you have the whole family in mind and not just an individual child's advancement, which is something mm-hmm. I think is a little bit tunnel vision for us when we're choosing curriculum. It's not bad that we're, you know, seeking out, you know, our individual child's advancement. That's great. But also widening our lens and being able to see the family goal in all of this. And mm-hmm. I'm able to apply it to all my kids. I mean, I do have a 1-year-old, but he's definitely along for the ride.
I mean, you can start a drip irrigation system and he can eat the dirt. That's, you know. It's,
yeah, I think it works out for us and microbiome. It works out. I love that you speak to quality of character, too. We are actually talking about things like integrity.
Mm, and mm-hmm. I talk about integrity a lot in that book because it's doing the right thing when no one's looking.
Mm-hmm. It's such an important message for my 7-year-old. I have an episode about the 7-year change that happens, and mm-hmm. it's the age of injustice and how they really just, they figure out that parents and adults lie sometimes, and they figure out all kinds of things, and it just shocks them to their core. And so they're going through a change inside themselves kind of for the first time at age 7. And then it happens again in a different way at age 9. And I have a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old right now, and it's speaking to them in different ways. And I can see that. And it's really important that we do talk about character. So I love that you include that in there. Where do you think curriculum like yours fits into the larger conversation about education in our country? Because there's a lot of talk about rigor and accreditation and project-based learning and social emotional education and just all these different buzzwords around quote unquote reform. And I'm wondering where it is you think your curriculum fits into that discussion.
Oh, that's a big topic.
It is.
you know, it's such an applied curriculum that I sat down and I tried to look at, like, you know, am I meeting this requirement? Am I meeting that requirement? And that it was overwhelming. And where I knew I wanted to be and what I can see, I mean, you can go on the internet right now, Pinterest or whatever, and find a unit study on everything there you could possibly want. And especially for the younger children, everybody is 100% on board with those. So I didn't necessarily feel the need to meet what I just see as busy work with the educational system. It's just, especially the public or government or whatever we want to call it today, it's just throwing stuff at them to say that they did it and then creating tests that are, anybody can pass them so that they can also say that they taught them this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we pulled our kids out of school, we had 2 junior hires and I was appalled. I mean, it was literally some of the stuff I saw was, well, we don't make them do any of their work. If they want to turn it in, it's up to them. And I'm just like, like, where is the integrity and the follow through and the time management and problem solving and all those skills that come from that, because you know that they aren't getting taught that anywhere else. And then they come home and they have a pile of homework and they have sports and youth group and all these things, which, I mean, youth group, of course, is wonderful, but that's really a lot of times it's just a safe social place.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not getting these extra skills that they need at home like they could be. You know, I was a nerdy kid, so I really loved academics when I was in school. But the memories that stick with me the most and my most applicable skills come from the time I spent on my family's ranch.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were divorced, but only lived about 20 minutes apart, and my dad had an 1,800-acre cattle ranch.
Wow.
And that's where I learned so much of my independence and safety and problem solving and just all these skills that I value so much for myself and my family at this point. And I think that was where I came from in writing this. I mean, I made sure that, you know, a lesson met the hour requirements that the states need, where they have to, you know, say that we did so many hours of science a week. I made sure that this curriculum could cover those so that most homeschoolers, or I mean, I even have this in some charter schools and have talked to a couple of public schools to use it as enrichment courses. They can't use it for science, but for enrichment, mm-hmm. or at least using it as a guide for enrichment. But I think people are just starting to realize that just cranking out factory kids isn't working anymore.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But at least that's the message that I get in my little bubble of the world.
Same. We must be in a similar bubble.
No, what do you know?
Not just location-wise, but also philosophy-wise, because I read John Taylor Gatto's Dumbing Us Down, and now I've moved on to his book, Weapons of Mass Instruction. And
I have that in my queue, but...
Oh, gosh. Well, we can book club about it if you just press play, you know, tomorrow.
Right.
Pretty good. I see what you're talking about with the busy work and the filler, and I definitely think that your curriculum does not have that. And the difference is that entrepreneurial versus industrial values that mentioned earlier is that a lot of government schools, public schools, brick and mortar schools do have that philosophy of just that industrial model in creating people who comply and who can follow directions and who can, you know, who can spew back
information.
Yeah, regurgitate information back. To prove that they were taught that and that they have a marker for that, something tangible they can hand to somebody else and say, I have learned this. But we are in a movement, the homestead movement, the homeschool movement, the home movement, the bringing families back together movement, and our proof, if you will, that the world is looking for, that there's rigor and, you know, elements for accreditation or project-based learning. It's like, well, participating your life as a family and creating things rather than consuming things, in my book, is the education reform that is needed in this country. And instead, we're being faced with the possibility of compulsory preschool, where they're trying to gather and put in line children from a younger and younger and younger age, not so that they learned, you know, their letters and their colors at age three, but so that they, and it's not opportunity. I don't feel like that they're creating opportunity. I feel like opportunity is found in self-sufficiency.
Yes.
And that is what your curriculum does. So it's interesting because I have a sense, and I don't want to like put this on you, but I'm sure that you're already aware that your curriculum is going to come up in discussions of education reform and whether or not it does have the rigor or the accreditation or this, that, and the other thing. And there are going to be plenty of people who want to prove that it does and plenty of people who want to prove that it doesn't, because it does look at the face of education as it stands right now and says, you know what, actually, we're going to focus on the family. We're going to focus on learning together. We're going to focus on character and values and then teach you to be a participant in your life. And that is very threatening to a lot of people, but I want to encourage you to keep going with that. And I also want to encourage anyone who values those same things that you do and that this giant movement does, that we bring these topics and curriculums like yours to the table when we're talking about education reform, for sure. So I just want to be back here in the sidelines, like championing you on when it comes to the topic of education reform.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'm really putting myself out there this year. I'm going to be at almost every major homeschool conference in the United States, as well as putting on workshops at each of them.
Good for you. That's awesome. I love it so much. I was going to ask you what kind of opportunities have arisen from the creation of your curriculum, because I met you at a homeschool conference and then I'm buying tickets to other conferences and bam, you are there.
Yes, I am. When I came out with my first curriculum, I spent a year really getting my name out there while I wrote the second one, so that by the time I released my second one, more people knew who I was. I don't want to say everyone, but more. And so by the time I went to Homesteaders of America, which is a huge homesteading conference in October every year, I had people running up to my booth so excited that they were getting to meet me. I had people that I was excited to meet running up to my booth, excited to get to meet me.
So good.
And then I had people who had never heard of me, which those were actually some of my favorite conversations, because, which is like the conversation I had with you. I mean, I think you were there for a conference, and I think we stood there and talked for 2 hours instead of
a long time. Yeah, it was a long time. I bought your curriculum immediately. I was like, oh my gosh, see a need, fill a need. Like, I have a need for this in my life. I just know it's going to be good.
You know, and these conversations, I mean, from a business standpoint, most people that get this in their hands don't set it back down.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's amazing, but I love the conversations and the networking and just the friends that I've made in this world, the friends my kids have made. Like, one of my kids is going with me to a conference because he made a friend at Homesteaders of America, and they're going to another conference. And so he gets to go with me and see his friend that lives in Florida, and they talk almost every day. So,
oh my gosh, that's so cool.
And this is my, you know, autistic son who doesn't have a lot of close friends up here. So, I mean, I'm just so excited for him. Mm-hmm. But as far as the opportunities, I've had some of the big names start noticing me. And I've been on some amazing podcasts. I have been asked to speak at events that I never thought that I would even be considered at. And I just see it going forward from there. I have some other writing opportunities. I've hired a whole team now.
Over here dancing in the background.
Like, oh, yes. Because it hit a place where I couldn't keep up with how well the curriculum's doing and still be able to create. And I have so much more I want to create.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you have plans to expand?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And then another one is I've gotten confidence. So, you know, we live in a community that has a lot of big influencers.
Mm-hmm. I'm learning this.
But there was one I really wanted to connect with because I'm going to be speaking with them at a conference, but they are like, you know, they are probably some of the most well-known homestead influencers out there, or educators. I'm not sure what they prefer to be called at this point, creators. And I ran into them at the one little Mexican restaurant in our town a couple days before Christmas. And I just, when they were done, I was like, hi, can I introduce myself to you? And like, I would have never had the nerve to do that before. And now I'm meeting them for coffee next week. And we're talking about, you know, each other's podcasts and getting my book in their store. And amazing. I'm really excited. I mean, I'd actually ran into her before at a gas station and was like, I'm not talking to her. I was also kind of having a little meltdown because like my back windshield wiper on my car wasn't working and there was snow and I was trying to clean it with a napkin. And
oh my gosh,
she's over there like trying to help me figure out like why there weren't anything to like the wiper things, but we realized because it was wintertime, they probably froze.
Yeah, and they froze. I'm sure.
I was like, I'm not having this conversation today. I'm having some sort of like, you know, existential crisis at a gas station. Awesome.
It's always the windshield wipers. Oh my gosh, that's so awesome. I love that because I think it's an awesome byproduct because you're giving us more confidence when we're showing up with our kids and you're giving us information and doable bits, if you will. So I don't feel overwhelmed by the notion of bees. I don't feel overwhelmed by the notion of butchering. I don't feel, that doesn't mean I'm just going to go out there and like start doing those things today. I mean, if that one hen doesn't get back in the coop, I can see from the window. I mean, I might start today.
Right. Start boiling that water now.
There's that one. She's always her.
There's always one. It's a hen or it's a pig. Like I have a pig right now who was on my porch yesterday. And I'm like, can I help you?
And I'm totally the kind of person that's like, come on in. My husband's not home.
girls, get the makeup and the bows. But, you know, it's drops of confidence that are coming out slowly as we tackle new to us ideas and new to us notions that we know that we're supposed to be more in tune with. So I appreciate that so much. And I love that what you're creating for other people is also giving that same thing back to you. I think that is how people know that their creation is making a difference when it also is gifting back to you. I love that so much. Well, do you have any other funny stories or like feedback you've gotten from people? Good, bad, or ugly?
I mean, my biggest one was really just like my jaw just dropped over the like, this should be a kindergarten curriculum. And I was like, I don't know. Why don't you skip forward a couple chapters to the entomology and let me know if you still feel the same way?
Yeah, boy, I hear that. It's really hard because we can't please everybody all the time. Yeah, I think I would have been like, sorry to hear that.
You know, I hired a personal assistant so that she has to see all the mean messages before me because I get sad. I'm very sensitive.
I understand.
It's an, well, I feel that like I'm kind of a people pleaser. So like, you know, I get a complaint at 11 o'clock at night via email and I'm suddenly like got my computer out trying to fix everything. And my husband's like, you can have business hours. Oh. I was like, but I have an upset customer.
Oh my gosh. Awesome. I doubt there's very many of those in comparison to those of us who are just over the moon about your curriculum too. And
there really aren't a lot of. And more the upset customer is I can't get my download to work or something. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Hell hath no fury like a homeschooler who cannot download that PDF and print it at 11 o'clock at night when we're trying to get it together.
Oh, I emailed a lady last night because I wanted her free ebook and it wouldn't let me get it. And I'm like, I want her on my podcast, I think, but I wanted to read the ebook first to make sure we were in line, you know, and it wouldn't download. So I emailed her at, I don't even know, it was like midnight or something. And they like, I woke up this morning. She's like, I'm so sorry. Here's your copy. And I'm like, oh, she's like me.
That's awesome. Maybe you are aligned. Maybe that was your sign.
Right.
Well, your curriculum is so good. I enjoy it so much. I enjoy what it is you're creating for people and the support that we need. This is the information that we need. This is what it is a lot of us have been longing for. And it really is aligned with so much more than just homesteading and then teaching our kids too. I feel like you're gifting us way more than just information or just incredible resources. So I wanted to thank you for that. I know that my listeners are going to want to connect with you more. Where can they find you?
Well, my website is thehomesteadeducation.com. If you go there, right up off the bat, there's a register for webinar. And it is my free 1-hour webinar on how to teach your kids homesteading for lifelong self-sufficiency. And comes with that beautiful free download that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. It has a beautiful thing you can hang on your wall or something with all of the homestead character listed on it. It has the research pages, it has the planner pages, everything you need to get started teaching science on your homestead, even if you don't have this curriculum.
It's awesome. Wow. So generous.
You know, of course, then I'm on Instagram and I have a podcast and it's all under the Homestead Education. And keep your eyes open this year for there's going to be an expansion pack to my little learners that's coming out here in a couple weeks. Make it a little bit more in-depth learning for the older little learners. I'm going to have an applied mathematics this year for probably like grammar school, like second grade-ish, and then about a pre-algebra level one. I don't know how long they're going to be yet, but it's kind of an applied / consumer math that really is going to align with my curriculums and go further in depth on the applied mathematics that are already in my curriculums. So some practice problems leading up to how to do these bigger problems. My book, Raising Self-Sufficient Children, An Honest Mom's Guide to Intentional Parenting, will be released in April.
Are you kidding me? Oh my gosh, I had no idea. I'm so excited.
Hopefully people can gain, if nothing else, some camaraderie that they are not alone with these challenging kids.
You're so awesome. Oh my gosh. And then you even took the time to sit down with us today and just share so generously. Cody, you are so awesome. I will be sure to link to all of your all of your great stuff in the show notes. Gosh, thank you so much, Cody, for the way that you showed up for us today and the way you show up every day for us. I really appreciate you.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Elevating Motherhood. Thanks again for spending your valuable time with me today. I hope you found some insight and inspiration, or maybe a little of both. If you like today's show, please leave a review on iTunes. I use your feedback to plan future shows and cover topics that serve you. You can also connect with me on Instagram and Facebook. Links to those accounts are in the show notes. For more information, including today's show notes, head to elevatingmotherhood.com. That's elevatingmotherhood.com. Thanks again, Mama. I appreciate you.